If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at innovativewellness.center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. Innovativewellness.center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. Innovativewellness.center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, innovativewellness.center.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and I came back a week early from Hawaii, Maui, Lahaina, just to be a part of this next broadcast.
Oh, wow. What a trooper. But, I mean, you are our CRNs and the We'll See About That senior Hawaii correspondent because you were out there during the devastated wildfire. So
yes,
how is Lahaina and Maui in general, how are they recovering?
Well, I think the tourism part of it is going well. You know, you cannot get into Lahaina. You can get right on the border of it. I think they've done a really good job of, you know, cleaning things up. And I suppose that it depends on who you ask as far as how far down the road they are on rebuilding this. But the island seemed healthy. I think there was a lot of tough recovery going on there. It's Maui Strong, I believe, is what they call it. And it's very powerful. They've done a really good job of being united during this period of time.
Glad to hear that. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in sports.
Well, we have a new Hall of Fame class. We have four new inductees, one being Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, Todd Helton, and longtime manager Jim Leland. So welcome to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, well-earned. We have, I guess this comes by way of AI, the Red Sox and noted cheater Alex Cora finalizing a contract extension. It does pay off at the end.
Hey, sometimes, you know, nice guys finish last.
Yeah, 4 year. Well, it's just his contract extension. legalized gambling, I guess, is now taking a little bit of a hit. There's another article that you mentioned that I have not read, but I will be interested in reading.
Yeah, this is a groundbreaking study out of USC and UCLA's both business schools tracking 38 states where there have been gambling, fully legalized sports betting, that is, and the results are damning.
Yes, I would imagine they are. And, I guess the NBA that we mentioned here a week or so ago has rejected TNT's $1.8 billion.
Billions of dollars.
So they decided to sign with Amazon, Disney, and NBCU, and TNN is considering legal action. So I guess that made a lot of sense. And our friend Bill Belichick is back in the news. Apparently he passed up any job he could have had and wanted with the 49ers. I find that hard to believe. Hard to believe, especially my 49ers. And we'll be right back with the great Larry Boa right after this. And we are back after the break, and I want to now welcome you to the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad, last week on our show, you talked about fear and that investors need not fear talking to an advisor about getting information. Is there something that people might want to keep an eye out for?
Yeah. Hey, Ron, to kind of introduce this, I want to ask you, did you ever start out a season on a hot streak? And then what was your mindset as you approached that the rest of the season or the next game or the rest of the month when you were hitting well above your average?
Well, the law of averages do take place, and I think the longer you play the game, you understand that at some point it's going to level out, and that's why they are the law of averages. So it's going to – it's a plus or minus, it's going to be in that area at the end.
So basically, if you're a 300 hitter, you're going to hit 300.
Or, you know, 295, 305, but, you know, but yeah, ballpark figure, yeah, that's where it's going
to end
up.
Well, hey, let's take a look at this first slide. This first slide shows the financial markets since the 1870s, and you've got three green lines that show the last three secular bull markets and also three red circles, which basically show that these markets, these bull markets, started at roughly 60% below the mean. What that tells you is if the average price of the market was a dollar, then the average starting point was 40 cents. This next slide is going to share this in a little bit more detail. It is the bottom section of that prior slide. This has those same three green lines showing our last three secular bull markets from 1920 to 1929, 1949 to 1966, and 1982 to 2000. That red line constitutes or shows the markets from 2009 to present. And you can see that we are significantly above all three of those prior secular bull markets. What is also on this chart is it shows that we are presently at the end of June 2024 at 163% above the mean. So if I go back to that dollar we were talking about, we're at $2.63. The average would be a dollar. And if you start those markets, the bull markets, at 60% below, it would be at 40 cents, not where it's at now. Am I saying the markets are going to crash? No. Markets can stay above the averages for long periods of time. What I am saying is that if your advisor has not shared this kind of information with you and you're getting close to retirement or in retirement, then you need to have a strategy to protect yourself in the event of a market collapse, because it's possible. If somebody wants to hear more about this, have them give me a call, Ron.
Okay, now you've heard it on the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. Thank you.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Sabe.
Okay, we are back now with our second segment of We'll See About That. Ron Sabe here with Mike Carey and our special guest, Larry Boa. And Larry will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code Ron Sabe when checking out at melissas.com. It is a pleasure for me to introduce to you a former teammate and a guy that I played many years against, one of the premier shortstops in Major League Baseball back in the 70s and 80s, Larry Boa. And Larry, it's an honor having you here. I remember our times in Chicago, and speaking of Chicago, we were both reunited here a couple weeks ago for the 1984 NL East champion Chicago Cubs and the unveiling of the Sandberg statue. So that must have been a fun weekend for you as well.
Yeah, it was, Ron. And obviously, you know, seeing Rhino, and he's doing much better health-wise, and seeing guys like you and Jody Davis and Sutcliffe and, you know, all the guys that really turned that city around in 84. I mean, it was fun going to the ballpark and everything. But it was a team that nobody thought would win because we had a lot of older guys. But, you know, the one thing you can't take away, and as you well know, experience does play in this game, especially when you're going to the playoffs and trying to win a division. But it was a lot of fun for me, and I know it was for you, our time in Chicago. The city was crazy, and I just wish we could have finished it. We just didn't finish it. We came out of the gate good, winning the first two. Then we lost three straight in San Diego.
Yeah, and that's when we had the replacement umpires, too, by the way, if you remember.
Right.
They were San Diego homegrown, and they did a number on us and our fans as well. I do remember that as very fond times. You talk about coming from a winning culture. You know, the new Cubs with the new face of the Tribune Company coming in and Dallas Green coming over brought a lot of Philly players who had that postseason experience. You know, our whole outfield was Philadelphia. And the middle of the infield was Philadelphia. Our bullpen was we had a few players scattered in there too, and yeah, it does help. You know, he was trying to change things in a hurry, and you mentioned age. You know, with us on the left side of the infield and Matthews in left field, you know, we don't have time to wait 5 years. You know, it's got to happen. It's got to happen fast, and that's one of the things that that Dallas lured me in to, was that he was going to try to do things quickly, and he sure as heck did. I remember him bringing in Sutcliffe early in the second month of the second year, I believe, and he actually contacted me about the possibility of getting Sutcliffe, and I knew that he was going to listen to me after our conversations, so I gave him an endorsement, and you know, here he makes me look good. Sutcliffe goes 16-1 and wins the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about Dallas, that Ron, is that he wasn't afraid to ask veteran players about, you know, personalities. Do they fit in the clubhouse? Will it get us over the hump? With the analytics today and everything, they really don't put a lot of credence on clubhouse chemistry, and I think it's really important. Just like you guys, all that success you had with the Dodgers, we had a lot of success in Philly. Chemistry is so important that it's overlooked a lot, especially now. They just look at you know, the numbers on the spin rate, exit velocity, and launch angle. There's so many other things to incorporate into a winning atmosphere, and chemistry is right up there, believe me. And again, when you get a player, you got to find out how he's going to react on a winning team. You know, you get some guy that's played on a last place team that's 20 games out every year going into July. How will it affect him when he's coming to the ballpark and it's a packed house and you're playing for the championship? All these things come into play. And Dallas did a great job of figuring out chemistry and clubhouse, what's good for the clubhouse, what's not good for the clubhouse. And as you said, he said he was going to move fast, and he did. I just wish that we could have finished that job, because I thought we would have had a good chance against the Tigers in the World Series.
Oh, yeah, I think we'd have been a much better matchup. And actually, that's my second biggest nightmare in my career, was losing the series to San Diego. The first one was the 78 World Series, when we lost the Yankees on a interference call that did not get corrected to Reggie Jackson's hip. So, yeah, we've all had, I guess, an experience. We had one with the Phillies and Dodgers. I think it might have been even that same year, where that bang-bang play in Philly at first base.
Yeah, with Davey.
With Lopes. Davey Lopes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've all had that experience. But I remember a time when it became apparent that, you know, I would have a voice, as we were playing an exhibition game over in Scottsdale against the Giants. And when we got off the bus, there was a different baseball bag coming from every organization in baseball. And I said, I got to talk to Dallas about this, because this is not the way I think that we should be moving forward. You know, we need to establish our identity. And the next day I was I had an opportunity to speak with him, because I wasn't playing in the game, and we went down to the bullpen and took a couple chairs with us, and we started talking. And so he said, "What's on your mind?" And I said, "Well, you know, this is what happened yesterday, and I felt like we were a co-op team. I felt like whoever the Giants were playing today was, you know, not the Chicago Cubs." And I said, if we're going to get this together and be united, you know, we need to start now." And, you know, he just kind of fell off his chair. He says, "Oh my God." He says, "You know, it must have gotten by me. I didn't see it, or I didn't anticipate that this was going on." But the next day, Yosh had to break out the new brand new bags that we had hoped for to use on opening day. And he was upset, you know. And but it was the right thing to do, you know. He thanked me for it. He says, "You know, and that's one of the things that I really felt that was good, because we were going to have, you know, at least an opportunity to voice our opinions on it and not just get shut down before we even get to the door."
Right. And Dallas, as you well know, he's as competitive as anybody that I've ever seen. And so when he left here in Philly, which he had a lot of years here, and of course winning the World Series in 80, he felt, you know, I need something more here. And he went over there, and from 84 on, and you can check, well, you had a clause in there about attendance at Wrigley.
I certainly
did.
And
we packed them in 84. There's no question about that. And I know you did all right with that contract, Ron, which was a good deal. Your agent must you must have given him a little tip there, because that was an awesome part of your contract. And the fact that that place was filled every day, I'm sure you did all right.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually Dallas is the one that I rolled the dice with. You know, he said, take a journey with me here. You know, I'm not going to lead you astray. You know, he was honest with me. And that's one of the things that I really appreciated about our relationship, you know. And, he established himself too. You know, growing up in that Philly organization with the Carpenter family, he learned, you guys always had great respect for that family. Probably similar to what I have and what our players had for the O'Malley family. We felt we were part of a family. Today, I would say that I probably wouldn't feel that way. It's too much corporate America.
Yeah, and you know, I'm very lucky, Ron, because we had a little chat about this when we had Rhino's Day at Wrigley. Our owner, he's all in on what the alumni have done. When you won a World Series, when you've won playoff games, he honors those guys every year in August. And that will never go away as long as he's the owner of the ball club, which I respect, because I hear more stories like the one you just said that's becoming more corporate with all these other teams. But John Middleton is one of those guys that loves the alumni. You know, we have the Wall of Fame, and it was very unusual for him, you know, getting to the World Series a couple of years ago against Houston. He gave everybody on that Wall of Fame a World Series ring, which was really unheard of. I mean, some of these guys haven't been to the park in 25, 30 years. And he brought them all in, and he said the fact that you guys were struck part of this organization, you meant a lot to this organization, and everybody got a World Series ring, which was unbelievable. And they were nice rings for a team that didn't win. You know, Houston won and we came in second, but the rings were really nice.
All right, we're going to be right back with our National League All-Star and World Series champion, Larry Boa, right after this message.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we are back with our special guest, Larry Boa. And Larry, I wanted to start by, I have a little story to tell about the way that the ownership treated you guys with the World Series ring. In 1981, when we won the World Championship, I had been asked by the players to go and talk to Peter O'Malley about getting miniature-sized World Series trophies. And I had heard that those guys had done that in the past, and it worked out pretty well. So I took it up to Peter, and I expressed to him that the guys would really like to, if and when we do win the World Championship, that if we could have purchase, if necessary, the World Series miniature trophies. And he was in awe of the request, and he totally agreed to it. And he says, and when we do, I will take care of it. And that's the kind of response that, you know, I became used to with things like that with the O'Malley family during that ownership. And that's why I think that all of our players in the past feel the way that they do. It was a very special time back then.
Yeah, I mean, back then you had owners that it literally felt like family. You're together, as we all know, from February, and when you get into the end there towards the World Series, the Game 7, whatever, you're going well into October. And the fact that those owners treated us like family, and we've been very, well, I think we were really lucky. You with the O'Malleys, me with Carpenter, and of course then Rooley taking over. Dallas Green becoming the manager. He was involved in the farm system. Paul Owens, you grew up with those guys. They knew you. You knew them. They knew when to get you going. They knew when to give you a pat on the back. It's just completely different now. It's more, like you said, of a corporate thing now. And the only reason I'd say I'm glad I played when I did, because of the environment and everything. Right. Obviously, we'd like to have the money these guys are making now.
Sure.
And but you know what? Looking back, I'm glad we played when we played. And if it wasn't for the Dodgers and the Big Red Machine, we might have won another World Series. Every year. We'd be getting in there with you guys and Pete and the Big Red Machine, and we just keep coming up short. And finally, we got over the hump. But and it wasn't embarrassing losing to teams like the Dodgers or the Reds. I mean, you look at those teams; they're loaded with all-star guys, guys that have great careers. But we just needed a push, and Dallas went out, and with Bill Giles' help, they got Pete Rose to come over here. And with Dallas managing and Pete the extra ingredient there, I think it sort of pushed us over the edge in 1980. There's no question about that.
Yeah, well, you guys were the kings of the East for the most part. You had your challenges coming from Pittsburgh and Montreal at times, and possibly the Cardinals, but you guys were the cream of the crop in the East. We had the Cincinnati Reds in our division, that made it tough. Very tough. And, we're lining up with the likes of Bench, Perez, Morgan, Concepcion, Rose, Foster, Geronimo, and Griffey.
Yeah.
That's a load. And I think that 76 team was the best team. Joe Morgan and I kind of decided that was the best team that I had faced and he had played on. And, they had a terrific team. They were loaded. You had a lot of personalities on your club too, though, you had yourself and you had Schmitty and you had Luzinski and you had Carlton and Booney.
Yeah.
And, now you get Pete Rose, like you say, Pete's, kind of the extra ingredient in here. What kind of an effect do you think Pete had when he first came over there?
Well, the one thing that, people don't know this, but Mike Schmidt, as great a player as he was, he seemed to always lack, I don't want to say confidence, but he was always, if he didn't face a pitcher he'd be all uptight about it. And, you know, Pete, from day one, he came over and he told Mike, he said, "Hey, Smitty, you know, when we have meetings to go over the Phillies, we mention one guy's name. Don't let this guy beat us. And it's you, Mike. Do you realize how great a player that you are?" And he just constantly was patting Schmitty on the back, patting him on the back. And I think the fact that the guys you mentioned, Bull, me, Booney, Schmitty, we all came up together. We learned right. how to win together. We learned how to lose together. But we missed that one ingredient. And I think Pete, with his positive attitude and telling Schmitty how great he was, I don't think anybody had to tell Schmitty that. But Schmitty liked to hear that every now and then. And Pete just reinforced that every single time. If we were facing a new guy and Schmitty say, "God, I don't know, I never faced this guy." And Pete would say, "Well, how do you think he feels? You're stepping in the box. The guy's going to have over 500 home runs. He's never faced you either." So I think the advantage is you, Mike. But those little things that he did, he told everyone you got to play hurt, which I don't think we ever had a problem with that. And I'm looking at your team, the way you guys posted every night, and the Cincinnati team, the way they posted every night. That was part of the long run, playing 162 games, throwing that lineup every single day out there. And now, you know, I'm still doing some work with the Phillies, and I hear where they have a workload day, and I'm just scratching my head and saying, these guys are 22 years old. They don't need a workload. They want to play. They have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee there's a lot of times you went to the park, the fact that you played every day, you were tired, and as soon as you got there and got loose and everything, the crowd filled up the seats. You're ready to go. But there's too many things that are going on now that are giving these guys excuses to get out of the lineup. And I take my hat off to those guys that play every day, because it's hard to do that. But we were with a mindset, and you might be able to add to this too, Ronnie. I didn't want to get out of the lineup because I know in the minor leagues we had some guys that could take people's places. And I said, you know what? I'm not giving anybody a chance to take my place.
Yeah.
Because the minor leagues at that time was pretty good. They had some AAA guys that knocking on the door every year, and they just couldn't get in because guys would, you know, you take a look at your infield together that long. We had an infield that was together a long time. And, you know, I just feel that the mentality was, I'm not getting out of this lineup because I don't want anybody taking my place. And I think that pushed me a lot. And I'm sure you didn't need that pushing because you guys had that same infield for a long time. But these guys today, where they get days off, and I'm scratching my head and going, guy just comes off a 4-for-5 game, and the next day he's got a workload day. And I'm going, man, if that had happened back then, the player would have been in the manager's office screaming at him, "I just got 4 hits yesterday. You're not taking me out of this game."
I agree with the mentality. We grew up in the same time. You know, we were geared to play every day. You know, our lineup was a set lineup. The metrics today is taking – they're manipulating it too much. Now you see – you know, you have a position where, let's take the Dodger ball club, for example. You know, you have three guys that are outside of the metrics that are going to play every day, and that would be Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman, and, right. and probably Will Smith.
Right.
Excuse me. But today, now they stack your three best hitters at the top of the lineup. They read the metrics and they find out who's best suited to play against this guy today and what position and what batting order, and pretty much this is done every single day. And like you said, if you had a 4-hit game and you're not playing, I'm knocking on the manager's door. I want to know who's better to play today than me. We didn't worry about we worried about rest when there was an off day or the season was over with.
Right.
You know, these games today, you know, you got more teams involved. You know, you got more playoff spots, which I think for some reason gives the teams and players feeling like there's more wiggle room in here. And they say, well, you know, we can play a bullpen game. We can do this. We can give a workload day. We can, these guys don't need to play but 135 games or so.
Which is insane, because also you guys are, you know, the players today now are flying on super nice luxury chartered planes, chartered luxury buses. They're staying in 4-star suites. They have the best nutritionists, kinesiologists, massage therapists of all time. I mean, and they need more games off than you guys took.
Well, but they're kind of protecting that investment.
Well, you know, the other thing is all the things you just named is true with every team. but the IL is longer than any time ever in the history of the game. So obviously it's not working. Guys are falling down, getting on, putting on the IL. And the rest that they think is helping, that list, go look at that list every day. It keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And I don't really know how bad players are hurt. Sometimes they have a bone bruise and they're, oh, you got to put them on the IL. Or maybe a little tendonitis. Oh, you got to put them on the IL.
I agree with you.
As big and strong as these guys are, they're great athletes. There's no question.
Yeah, they are.
But for some reason, that IL keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, well, I I've always been curious. You know, the guy goes down, he sprains his ankle or something in the first month of the season, and he goes on the DL. And they say, what's his recovery time? Well, we expect him back by All-Star break, right? And then I'm saying to myself, well, besides the sprained ankle, what did he do? Okay, because I can't figure out why he's gone for 3 months. I really can't. And I think these guys are kind of molded a different way.
Yes.
They have to be 100% before they feel like they can go out on the field and play. And I guarantee you, you know it and I know it. There's not too many games you go out there 100%, right?
Hey,
you're
Ryan,
banged up all the time, right?
After the first week of spring training, something's bothering you. I don't care what it is. You're sore. Your muscles are aching. How many times you go out there and start playing catch? You go, oh, man, my arms. But then the more you get loose, the more you take your ground balls, your pregame and everything, take your BP, hey, you're ready to go. You don't feel 100% every time you go into that locker room. It's just impossible, especially when you're playing every day.
Yeah, well,
but you're right.
You're right. You slide. You try to take out a double play. You know, you hit the base funny with your ankle. You get hit by a pitch. You get a ground ball that comes up and hit you in the face or then you dive for a ball and you tweak your shoulder a little bit. All kinds of different things. I've got a game I want to play with you when we come back. It's kind of a word association. I'm going to give you some things to think about. It's kind of like where the state of the game is today and how you think things have changed. So we're going to be right back with our next segment with All-Star shortstop Larry Boa right after this message.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The beloved power nap. The enviable power couple. The celebrated power hitter. But around here, Kohl's cash is power. And if you earned it recently, it's time for your power trip to Kohl's. Will you redeem your Kohl's cash on those Adidas sneakers you've been eyeing? Will you flex at the block party with that new ice cream maker? Will you replace your kids' favorite shorts because they outgrew them? Again, however you redeem your Kohl's cash before it expires, more power to you. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's. Additional exclusions may apply.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angi.com.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And welcome back. We'll see about that with the great Ron Say. And it's time for This Week in Dodger History, presented by BFF Financial. 1966, Sandy Koufax strikes out 16 Phillies, Mr. Boa. And Jim Bunning whiffs 12 Dodgers in the first 11 innings of a pitching duel between future Hall of Famers at the Chavez Ravine. With both starters out of the game, though, Los Angeles beats the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 thanks to an unearned run scored in the bottom of the 12th inning.
Well, that was old Dodger baseball back then, but in today's game, neither of those pitchers would have been around after the fifth inning. Oh, God. And to think that I used to take batting practice off of Sandy Koufax, and he'd let me launch in Vero Beach a lot. But great memories from that. He's still, still the top dog, still going strong, about 88 years old now.
That's one guy I'm glad watching video. Glad I didn't have to hit off him.
Yeah.
That curveball and that.
Oh, yeah.
He's in another class. There's no question about that.
Yeah, well, you know, when he freezes a hitter like Mickey Mantle, you know, and he says, how do you hit that? You know you're in trouble after that.
Speaking of Larry, before we get into the great word association game, which we love, who was the hardest guy that you faced? And also, who was the guy that you look forward to because you could feast off of?
Well, the hardest guy, as far as his demeanor on the mound, you know, there's some guys that threw hard, like J.R. Richard threw really hard. But a guy like Bob Gibson, I mean, if you look cross-eyed at him, he'd drill you in a minute. That's the one element that's gone from baseball. I watched a game last night. A pitcher came up and in, and he says, my bad. And I'm saying, man, I can't even imagine Nolan Ryan or Bob Gibson or Seaver throwing one up and in to you and then them saying, my bad. They would take four or five steps toward you and look at you like, You got a problem with that? Because I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
I think the demeanor of these pitchers back then was a lot meaner than they are right now. These guys, there's no question. A lot of guys throw hard, but they don't have that mean streak in them like the guys that I mentioned. Those guys, they had an attitude when they got out there. And but as far as stuff, I would say J.R. Richard was really good. But Bob Gibson with his demeanor and everything. Nolan Ryan you can throw up there. I mean, there were a lot of hard throwers.
Yeah, well, just ask Robin Ventura about Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, really. That was a big mistake.
Yeah. Well, yeah, big time. Steve Sachs, when he first joined us, he got a hit off, I think, Nolan, maybe in his first or second at bat. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but Nolan was pretty notorious about having young kids get hits off him for the first time.
Yeah.
And yes. We told Saxy, stay loose. You're probably going to go down. And first pitch was, you know, over the top. And, you know, just to let him know that, you know, I'm here too. But, yeah, we had some real competitors who weren't afraid to brush you back or knock you down. And that was part of the game. And it's not a part of the game today.
I got one real quick story on Gibson. So we're playing at the Vet. It's the ninth inning. And he's still out there. And Schmitty, who was a rookie, happened to hit a game winner, a home run. And Gibby's walking off the mound at the Vet, and he basically stopped about the third baseline. And Schmidt was just glad, you know, playing. He was a rookie. He went around. He had to go around him. So it just so happened we played him that weekend. And then the next weekend we had to go to St. Louis, and we were going to get him again. And sure enough, first time up, Schmitty gets up and boom, right in the ribs.
Oh, yeah.
And so after the game, Gibson beat us again. We won the first game with the walk-off, but Gibson beat us that next weekend in St. Louis. And somebody asked him, was that on purpose when you hit Schmitty? And he goes, no, He says, half the plate's mine and half the plate's his. He just has to guess which half I want. And but that was the attitude of those guys. They took it to another level when they were on that mound. There's no question about that.
I had a moment with Gibson or two myself. He gave me my worst official at bat in Major League history. A game that I struck out on three pitches, and the bat hula hooped me at home plate, and I didn't even know if I had swung at the ball. The bat just kind of went right away, and I saw in that split second, I said, was it a strike? Did I swing? And I picked up the bat and walked back to the dugout. And you know those dugouts in St. Louis, they're steep. And I had I had half the club on the floor laughing at me when I came back into the dugout. And there was another time where I chased him with a bases loaded double in St. Louis. And when I got to second base because I ran him, I did not do anything but stare out at the center field fence. That was it. I didn't look at him. I didn't want to have that conversation at all. Yeah.
No. He was a different animal, yeah, man. I'm telling you, he was tough.
Yeah, those are great memories. Great memories. So I wanted to touch base, and I'm just going to throw out some things, and I'm going to let you respond to them. It's pretty much centered around, you know, what's happening in today's baseball.
Okay.
And let's start with the enlarged base.
Well, I'm not on the enlarged base. First of all, that was for Harper, if you remember. It was in Washington, and Harper hit, it was raining, he hit the top of the bag, his foot went out, and again, it was a name player that got hurt, so we're going to change the bases, and of course, the play down the first base line, we want a bigger bag. I'm against the bigger bag, because now they use the oven gloves when you steal second base. Not only is the bag bigger, you got the extra 6-7 inches with the oven glove. To me, I don't know. I don't understand why we're changing all these rules. And but I'm not all in on the bigger bases. I mean, if that was the only move they made, I'd say okay, I could deal with it. But to go along with all the other stuff that's happening, I don't understand it really.
Yeah, well, I think they just decided to invite base stealing back into the game,
right?
Because this game is centered towards, you know, strikeouts and home runs today, and so next one up, runner at second base in extra innings.
Negative. And part of being a good baseball team is it have to endure a game where you play 16 innings. You use everybody in the bullpen. And part of that journey for 162 games is how deep is our roster? Can we overcome a 16-inning game? The fact that they want to have these games end quick, if it's such a good rule, Ron, my question is, why don't they use those in the playoffs? Why don't they put a man on second in the playoffs? You're doing it all year, so why stop? Because it's the playoffs. Last year, or a year before, Seattle and Houston played 18 innings, and it ended up being a 1-0 game. And now they're talking about health and everything and getting the right product out there. Nobody said a word about that, but it messed up their bullpens for the next 2 or 3 days. But that's all part of the process. When you play 162 games, there's going to be peaks and valleys. And part of that, those valleys are when you have 15, 16-inning games, and you got to overcome that. You might not have a bunch of relievers the next day. So you need that starter to go 7-8 innings. Yeah. And I think that's all part of the process. That's what makes a championship team, to overcome all of the negative things that happen over the course of 162 games. But putting a man on second, I mean, usually these games only go another 2 innings at the most. You very seldom see a 15-inning game now with a man on second.
So yeah, I'm not
into that.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. I think that it's a cookie that doesn't need to be out there. I think that you battle hard to get a win, and then you give somebody an easy chance. There's no creativity there. to me, I'm not in favor of it. And, and you talk about what you do during the regular season and the postseason. Today's game, we also try to play a little old school baseball in the postseason, which
they don't do
during the regular season.
No question.
Bullpen games. How do you like bullpen games?
You mean having the bullpen guy start the game for one inning?
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite.
That either. I watched a game the other day where they bring in a left-hander. He doesn't get, I guess the Phillies. It was Minnesota, and he didn't get. He got Schwarber out. Turner got a base hit, and he walked Harper. So, I mean, you're wasting a left-handed pitcher that you might use in the seventh or eighth inning to pitch to these guys. Now, he throws three hitters. He got one of them out, and now he's out of the game. And, again, you're taking another guy out of the bullpen. I don't understand it. And the fact that, maybe the starting pitcher has trouble in the first inning, what difference does it make? He's going to go out there in the second inning, and that's really his first inning. I don't know. There's more teams to go into that, bullpen games. We're very fortunate this year, and I know you follow baseball, Ronnie, but our four starters go pretty deep every time they get the ball, and that's what's enabled us to play good baseball and have a fresh bullpen. You keep going to the bullpen like they're doing after the fifth inning or having these starters, these relievers start the game. By July or August, these guys are going to be burned out, and you're not going to get a good product out of that bullpen when you constantly use them from April 1st, and you're using them like that all the way till beginning of August where the dog days are. But we've been very lucky with our starters. They've been going deep in the game, and our relievers, for the most part, have been fresh all year.
Well, no question. That's why you've got the best record in the National League, and you're playing well, and you're healthy, at least in the moment. And, I think it's nothing more than a glorified exhibition game. You know, you got to be able to come up with a spot starter or somebody.
Yeah.
So what if you have to call somebody up from AAA, you know? There's plenty of guys down there with experience that you can call up and use. And to me, it's a lot better solution than the bullpen game for reasons that you mentioned. We talk about, on the average, there's probably 10% of your games in total that you play in extra innings. And, that's a lot of ball games over the course of the year, 16 games.
Right.
And with all the teams that are vying for those wild card spots, I just, don't like the way they're manipulating this thing for time's sake. You know, Dodger Stadium fans are not going to care whether or not you're putting a guy at runner at second base because they're going to be gone in the seventh inning. Okay. They're not going to hang around. For time's sake, I mean, I do like the. How do you like the pitch clock? Let's go to the pitch clock.
I like the pitch clock because the one reason I like it, and you can probably say the same thing when you played.
When we played,
pitchers got the ball and threw it. They had a game plan. I mean, when Steve Carlin took the mound, he knew exactly what he was going to do, how he was going to pitch guys. And as an infielder, as you well know, you start getting a guy out there that walks two or three guys in a row. You're on your heels. Now he throws a strike to somebody. He hits a bullet to you. You're not ready for it. You're on your heels. I like the pitch clock. Out of all the rule changes, I like that the most because it keeps everybody involved in the game. The infielders are ready for ground balls. The outfielders are ready. You're going to see some athleticism with the infielders, especially now that you can't shift. So, that's one of the rules that I really, really like is the pitch clock.
Yeah, I do too for the same reasons. Your infield is able to stay focused, and there's not a lot of time for you to get lost in between. I think it does because 70% of the game is played in the infield, and these guys need to be sharp. And the faster you work, the better your focus and intensity is. Unfortunately, we are running down near the end, Larry, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us. We have so much more to talk about, but this time went extremely fast and very fluid. And I really enjoyed catching up with you. Obviously, you've had a lot to offer. You've been a manager, a coach. You've still stayed in baseball. Your expertise is impeccable, and you've been a great leader and role model for, I'm sure, a lot of people.
Well, I appreciate that, Ron. It was great seeing you in Chicago, and we got to stay in touch a little bit better. The fact that you're on, I'm used to watching you because I was in uniform. Even when you weren't uniform, we go out to LA and you come out, you and Bill Russell, and Davey was there a few times.
For sure.
It's just good to see guys that you played against and get to go over old times. And obviously we are all a lot better now, that fact that we took the uniform off, but it was fun, and I'm glad I got to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Larry, and once again, best of luck to you, and hope all is well.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Take care.
Be well. And we'll be right back right after this match.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Okay, we're about ready to wrap this segment up. We'll see about that. I want to remind you to visit my website, theronsayshow.com. All of our podcasts will be listed over there with our guests and future guests as well. The book, Penguin Power, is over there, available for purchase with multiple options. And also, don't forget to tune in with me at the official Ron Say on Instagram. I just wanted to make comment about the great time I had with Larry Boa here. It was very fluid. Larry's been a friend for a long time, great competitor, feisty guy, got things done, had a voice in the locker room. He managed, he coached, he was a Dodger coach with the Joe Torre in his group, with Don Mattingly coming over with that Yankee group. He managed to be a coach with both the Yankees and Dodgers, so that was a pretty special thing.
Yeah, what he said about chemistry was really, really interesting to me. How you don't want to have a bunch of the same guys. You want to have guys that complement each other in the locker room. You want to have quiet guys. You want to have loud guys. Guys that need motivation. Guys that don't need motivation.
You need to know the personalities of the players, who you can count on. You know, who's going to run south when it gets a little tough, and who's going to have your back when it gets a little difficult. And it's called vetting. And it seems to me that the teams are missing out on that. Look what's happened with the Dodgers here in the last few years with people that run amok. And not something that you want to have on your resume, but you do need to have a better job of understanding who the people in your clubhouse are so you can have a united group when you go on the field.
Yeah, and you mentioned before, you know, during our prep session that Larry in the locker room, you know, he was a guy that could hold people accountable but in a non-confrontational manner.
Exactly right. And I think that, you know, he helped instrumentally with the growth of Ryan Sandberg. They were teammates in Philadelphia before he came over, and Rhino always had an ear open for Larry, you know, and I think it helped him greatly. Want to remind you that next week we have a very special guest, also a player who spent his entire life, I think, playing in baseball, managing, coaching, playing, Joe Amalfitano, 90 years young. He's doing very well. He's over in Arizona, and I look very forward to an incredible interview coming up with him. He has been around long enough to know just about everybody that I know and more that played professional baseball with incredible stories to follow. So please join us next week. It was a great time with Larry Boa this week. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and join us next weekend with Joe.